Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for life. Thank you for the privilege to be back in your house. Lord, I thank you for these people that have assembled here today. Lord, they've come here, Lord, because they want to hear from you. Lord, we need to hear from you. God, only you can help us in times in our life that we have special needs. And Lord, even day by day, we need your help, your guidance. Lord, I pray now the Holy Spirit will be our teacher today. Lord, may he lead us and guide us in everything we say and everything we do. Lord, we're just going to thank you now for what you're going to do. Help those, Lord, that are sick, those that are traveling, those that are not able to be with us today. I pray, God, they'll be back next week. It'll be your will. Lord, we commit now this time to you. And thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In John chapter 20, we'll begin reading with verse number 19. John chapter 20, verse number 19. In this passage, we see earlier that Jesus had been crucified, died, he rose again. And this is the first day of the week. And he appears himself to Mary Magdalene in the first part of this verse in the early morning, in the early of the day. And now we see we're in the latter part of the day, and Jesus now is appearing himself to the disciples. In verse number 19, the Bible says, "Then the same day at evening," that's the same day that he's met Mary, "the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said thus, he breathed on them and said unto them, Revive you, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But notice verse 24, but who? Thomas, one of the 12. Thomas, the one we're going to talk about today, notice Thomas, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my sides, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. We see here in this passage of Scripture an apostle called Thomas. Thomas. We see here, as we look at Thomas, we see many things about him. Thomas is known as the doubting Thomas, isn't he? Doubting. Do you ever doubt? I think we all go through doubt sometimes. What causes doubt? What is a doubt? A doubt is a state of uncertainty about a cause, about a person, about a situation. It's a state of uncertainty, not sure about something. We see a doubt also may indicate that we don't really know that much about the circumstance, and we need to inquire more about it. Therefore, we doubt. We also, doubt causes us sometimes to hesitate towards doing something. We'll hold back because of doubting in our life. We also see that it is caused by sometimes a wavering judgment. We make the wrong judgment, causes us sometimes to doubt. Doubt also causes us, because of the lack of conviction that we have about something in our life. Therefore, we doubt what we're about to try to do. And also we see that doubt is caused by sometimes disbelief, just unbelief. We just don't believe. So therefore, we just doubt. We just doubt. Now, when we look at Thomas here, we said here, first of all, he is called Didymus because he is known as the Doubting Thomas, the Doubting Thomas. I like this morning to give him another name, a better name, I think. He's the apostle who wanted to be sure. He's the apostle who wanted to be sure about what he was believing. We see also that he wanted a real base, if you please, for his faith, a real reason to believe what he believed. We see also that he is not mentioned in the first Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, except in the listing of the apostles. But in John, he's mentioned three different passages, and we're going to look at those this morning about Thomas, where he's mentioned there. We see that he earned the title of Doubting Thomas because he was inquisitive. In other words, he was eager to learn. He wanted to learn, okay? He was overly curious about things, about the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he doubted. He doubted. Now, in this passage we just read, in John chapter 20, verse 19 through 29, we see, first of all, in verses 19 through 23, that Jesus appeared to his disciples. He appeared to them in a place where they were gathered together. The doors were shut. No doubt the doors might have been locked. We don't know. But they were afraid, the Bible says. They were afraid of the Jews and what they might do to them because of their belief on the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he had died. He was buried. And we see here they were there in this place afraid. And we see as they were there, we find in the situation in verse 19 and verse number 20, as it was that time, Jesus appeared in the midst of them. And Jesus said these words, "Peace be unto you." Focus on this, folks. First of all, can you imagine in this room today, if all of a sudden someone would appear up here on the platform, a visible human being, we all would be what? Shocked. I'm talking about without coming in the doors, all of a sudden he's just there. Okay? Instantly, he's there. Can you imagine these disciples in this situation, in this room? They're already afraid, you know? And here this Jesus just comes in amongst them. And no doubt they just were shocked and they didn't know who it was. They had all kinds of questions in their minds. And Jesus said unto them, "Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you." Have you ever been in a situation in your life that you were afraid? Have you ever been in a situation in your life that you didn't know what to do? And you began to read the Word of God, or maybe God through the Holy Spirit just spoke to your heart and says, "Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right." Well, here they are. Here they are in this place, as the Bible says, and Jesus enters into them. We see here his peace in all situations. Here's the situation of the disciples. They were all afraid. They thought he was gone forever. And in this situation, he appears in the midst of them and says, "Peace be unto you." He brings peace in all situations, doesn't he, in our lives. Thank God for the peace that surpasses all understanding that Jesus gives us when we accept Christ as our personal Savior. And he's always with us. We also see his peace for all situations. For all situations. Here they were, gathered in a room. They wanted to be alone. They didn't want nobody to know where they were because of their fear. But Jesus enters in and he says, "Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you." He gives peace in all situations. He gives peace for all situations. We find this here in this passage right here in this verse. He said, "Peace be unto you." Now, we see in verses 24 through 29 that Jesus appears again. The disciples are assembled again. And Jesus appears to the disciples this time. And one that was not with them, Thomas, is with them at this time. He's with them the second time. Now, Jesus, being God in the flesh, knowing all things, knew about Thomas, knew he wasn't there to begin with, and knew how Thomas even was thinking about the situation. He says, Thomas says in verse number 24, verse number 25, "The other disciples therefore said unto Thomas, We have seen the Lord." But notice what Thomas says. "But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my hands into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not" what? "I will not believe." This is Thomas. This was him. The doubts of Thomas here are declared in this passage of Scripture. We see what Thomas missed. First of all, being with Jesus and with the other disciples. You know, when I miss church, when I miss Sunday school, I miss something. When you miss church, when you miss Sunday school, you miss something special. Because God has a table set for all of us. When the Word of God is opened and read and studied, there's something for everybody. It may be something different for you than it is for this person, but there's something for everybody here. And we see Thomas missed something when he wasn't there with them in the first time when they were in the upper room, when they were there in this room to gather together here. We see he missed the meeting with them. He missed being there. What was manifested there? We see here his doubt. His doubt was manifested here. He missed seeing Jesus, first of all. And now we see here in this passage of Scripture that it was manifested he was doubting because he didn't see Jesus. If he'd been there with him the first time, he wouldn't have doubted. But he wasn't there the first time, so now he's doubting. He brings this to his disciples, his father, his brothers, and you say, I'm doubting. I've got doubt in my heart. I got to see him. I got to see his nail prints. I got to see his side. I got to put my hands upon him to believe it's him. He was doubting. He was doubting, you see, here. And we see here the doubts of Thomas, though, are being discussed here with the Master. We see in verse number 26, and after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus in the doors, being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. And notice what Jesus said. He's speaking now specifically to who? Thomas. He's speaking to Thomas in verse number 27. Then said he unto Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold thy hands. Now Jesus wasn't with the disciples when Thomas told the disciples what he wanted to do to believe. Okay? He wasn't with them then. But Jesus, knowing Thomas, he said this to him, Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand and thrust into my sides, and be not faithless, but believing. But believing. He's trying to encourage Thomas here to believe. We see the doubts of Thomas are being discussed here. We find here that they're being done away with. They're done away with here. We see in verse 28 and verse 29. Look at verse 29. The Bible says, verse 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. When Thomas saw what he wanted to see, he was satisfied that this was who they said he was. Okay? He was satisfied with that. And then in verse 29, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Thank God, I've never seen Jesus, neither have you. But I believe. I believe. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he's the one that came and died for me. Now, I want us to notice some things about Thomas. Some things about Thomas. Again, I said, I don't want to consider him the doubting Thomas. I wanted to consider him the apostle who wanted to be sure. He wanted to be sure. First of all, we find in this passage here in John, chapter number 20, we find Thomas, when he saw what he ought to believe, when he saw what he ought to believe, we see Thomas just wanted to know that it was right. He wanted to know that it was right, that this was who they said he was. Sometimes we're that way ourselves. He wanted to believe that Jesus had been raised from the dead, but he wanted to be sure. He wanted to be sure. Just like some people you talk to about being saved, they want to be sure that when they get saved, they're going to get saved. They know it. They know it. You know, things are different. I've had people tell me that. Well, you know, I would, but I want to be sure, you know. I want to be sure that when I trust Christ that he saves me and I know I'm saved. And of course, the only way you can know is you had to do it first. You know, you had to do it first. But here we find Thomas was this way. See, when he saw what he ought to believe, He only wanted to know that it was right. He saw evidence that he was there. Jesus was there with his hands, with his side. And Jesus made available to him to touch him and assure him that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was raised from the, he was the resurrected Christ. So we see here that Thomas' personality is complex, mixed, you see. Loyalty and faith we find in his personality. We also see that he saw evidence that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. He was seeking that. He was seeking that. We also see that when he discovered this miracle, he saw this miracle, then we see confession is made that Jesus was the Christ. And he accepted him himself. So we see, first of all, that when he saw what he ought to believe, then we see him wanting to know that it was right. That's the first thing about Thomas we see. Now, we see with this, we see, first of all, he was not willing to put his faith on the testimony of others. He wanted to see himself. He wanted to see himself, you see. He wanted something stronger than just the testimony of somebody else, that Jesus Christ was risen. He wanted evidence himself. We see that he got that. Nothing wrong with wanting a sure foundation for your faith. Nothing wrong. As the songwriter put it, my faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. There's nothing more solid, nothing more firm than that. And putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thomas would not make a confession without a thorough investigation. He wanted to investigate the fact that this man was Jesus and he was raised from the dead. We see this in verses 27 and verse 28. He says, my Lord and my God, he believed them with all his heart when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ physically as a man. Faith is based on evidence, the facts, the performance, and also the witness. My faith is based on the fact that Jesus Christ died for me. He was buried for me. He rose again the third day. My faith is built on that fact. And, you know, this is my faith and where it stands. What does Jesus want us to believe today? Jesus wants us to believe today that he is the Christ, the Son of God, the one who died on Calvary for our sins. That's what he wants us to believe today. That's what we are trying to tell people. We should be trying to tell people everywhere we go. Just like Ms. Hassel talking about this person, talking about hell. You know, probably most of us, I know I was, I got saved the morning I heard a message on hell. I mean, it stirred my heart, buddy. I recognized that, you know, if I died, I'd go right straight to hell. And I didn't want to do that. Therefore, God took that message and broke my heart. I'd heard messages all week in revival. But that was the climax to me, to awaken me to reality. Brother Bob and I were in a place this week, past week, visiting a friend of his that was in a car accident last Friday. Yesterday was a week ago. This Friday was a week ago. Man, he just a matter of God's grace. He escaped that accident. He's got a broken leg down here and also up here. And God dealt with Brother Bob by going to see this man because he knew himself what happened to him. He was in a very severe accident. He needs to tell you sometime about his accident up north. And that accident woke him up to reality. He was thinking, you know, I could have died. If I had died, where would I have gone? Where would I have been? And this young man, when we went to see him, Bob told him his story, what happened to him and what happened to him. This man, you know, God sometimes has to get people in a certain situation for them to listen. But when they're in that situation and God reveals to us, hey, it's time to talk to them about Christ, we need to do it. We need to do it. So we're in to see him, and by the grace of God, we find this man trusted Christ as his Savior because it was his time. It was his time, you see. And we had to go on and talk to him about the Lord. I don't know if we ever got saved or not, but it was on his heart to go, so we went. See, God leads us sometimes to situations like this that we need to act upon because it might be this person's last time. We don't know. But I'm saying here that once Thomas had a sure base for his faith, he never again doubted the resurrection of Christ. No longer did he doubt it. So we see, first of all, that when Thomas saw what he ought to believe, he only wanted to be sure. He only wanted to make it sure. Secondly, we see that when Thomas saw what he ought to do, he wanted to do what he knew he should do. Turn with me over to John chapter 13. John 13. When Thomas saw what he ought to do, he only wanted to know how to do it. How to do it. How can I do this? How can I do this? In John chapter 13, look at verse number 36. Verse number 36, John 13. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me hereafter. Afterwardly, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Now notice, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? We see here Thomas again in a situation. What he ought to do, he wanted to know how to do it. How to do it. Jesus said to Thomas, Lord, Thomas said to the Lord, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? You're going to go? How do we know the way? How do we do this? How do we do this? You see, sometimes in knowing what we do, knowing what to do, we need to know how to do it, don't we? We need to know how to do it. And this was Thomas. This was Thomas here in this situation. Thomas was overly concerned. He wanted to learn. He was over curious to hear about where Jesus was going and how can he go also? How can he go also? Well, we notice here, Jesus answered him. Look at verse number 6. And Jesus answered to him, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We see here his answer. Jesus has answered Thomas here about this situation. And we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? This was Jesus' answer to Thomas. And notice what he said here. Christ said to him, Christ is the way to all truth about God. If you want to know something about God, study the life of Jesus Christ. He's the way to God. He's the only way to God. The only way you know about God, I know about God, is knowing Jesus Christ. The more we know about Him, the more we know about God. Jesus here is answering Thomas this way. Secondly, we see here that Christ is the way to all truth. We see His love. We see His mercy. We see His judgment, justice, and power. Jesus says, to know me, you have to know God. When you know me, you know God. Also, we see Christ meant that He was the way to life. He was the way to life. The way to life is with the Father. It's through Jesus Christ. Life. Eternal life, folks. Everlasting life is given to us through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. We also see His answer. Christ meant He was the way to go to heaven. There's no other way to the Father but through Jesus Christ. He's identifying Thomas with that. He's trying to settle the doubts of Thomas, letting him know what he ought to do, how to do what he ought to do here in this passage of Scripture you see here. So we see here, Thomas wanted to know what to do, how to do it. Jesus has explained to him how to do it. This is how you do it. Something else about Thomas. Turn back to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. We see Thomas, when he saw what he ought to do, to believe, he only wanted to know what was right. We also see Thomas, when he saw what he ought to do, he only wanted to know what to do or how to do. And thirdly, we see here something else about Thomas. We see, when he saw what he ought to do, nothing could hold him back. Nothing could hold him back when he found out what he ought to do. Look in John chapter 11 and look at verse number 6. Verse 16. Then Thomas said, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. We know Lazarus has been raised from the dead. And we see that 14, then said Jesus to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Go unto him. And then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Thomas at this time was ready to die for the Lord. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do. My doubts have been settled, so to speak. I no longer doubt that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And I want to follow him. I want to live for him. I want to give my life to him and for him, you see. So we see here in the Word of God, the Apostle Thomas, a man that doubted, but yet he was the apostle who wanted to be sure. He wanted to be sure that Jesus was the Christ. He was risen from the dead. He was alive. He wanted to be sure that in what he believed, he was right. He wanted to be sure in what he did, he wanted to know how to do it. And then he wanted to be sure also in what he did that nothing could stop him. Nothing could stop him. He was that determined now in his life as an apostle. You know, there are many people in the Bible that had doubts. Abraham had doubts concerning the inheritance of Canaan. We also see that Gideon had doubts as to the victory over Midian. We also see that John the Baptist had doubts concerning the Messiahship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had doubts. We also see that Martha at the resurrection had doubts. She had doubts. The Bible is full of people that had doubts. We live in a world of people today, we all have doubts, don't we? Somewhat, sometimes in our life, you see. And there's nothing wrong with having doubts. We need to realize that even the early Christians, when Peter came to them as he was in jail, he came to them, knocked on the door, and they didn't believe it was even him, even though they'd been praying for him. They doubted that Peter was out of prison and was with them then. So the Bible is full of doubts. The people are full of doubts in the Bible. And it just lets us realize that God can use people like Thomas. God can use people like you. Just make sure you know what you believe. Just make sure you know in whom you have believed. And realize that he's able to deliver you. He's able to save you to the uttermost. He's able to keep you by his power. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing whatsoever. We're saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We're kept by his blood. There's nothing that can deter us from our journey towards heaven and the journey that we're going to make it to heaven one day. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm secure. It's almost like being in heaven now, as far as in my mind, in my heart. I'm ready to go. I would love to go any day. But until then, I must occupy. We must occupy because there's much to do. There's many people to tell about the Lord Jesus Christ. And may the Lord help us as we look at this Apostle Thomas and realize many of us sometimes are like him, aren't we? We doubt. We doubt. But you know, when we meet Jesus, when we meet him personally and trust him as our Savior, our doubts are settled. We know in whom we have believed, and we're persuaded that he's able to keep that which I committed to him against that day. I know that my Savior lives. I know he's coming back one day, and I'm looking forward to him coming. Aren't you? I really am. The Apostle Thomas, he's not much mentioned in the Bible about him. But we know one thing, that when he saw the resurrected Christ, he believed. He believed, and his faith was secure then in the fact that Jesus was the risen Savior. And therefore, he wanted to do what he could do for Christ, and he wanted to live his life for him. May that be our goal. May that be our prayer today, folks, that we want to live for Christ until Jesus comes. He could come today. If he does, I trust we're ready. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for loving us. Thank you for this time to study again another apostle. We thank you for Thomas, Lord, the man, Lord, who wanted to see. He had to see to believe. But yet, Lord, we know that he was just a man, just an apostle, who wanted to be sure in what he did believe. And God, I pray today that people here in this auditorium are sure in who they have believed. I trust they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, if not, I pray today may be that day, Lord, that the Spirit of God would work in their heart and help them to understand they need to know. We have no promise of tomorrow. We may die when we get home. And Lord, if we die not saved and not knowing we're saved, what an awful time it's going to be. We're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. And God, I pray you help people to get settled today if they don't know. And Lord, those of us that know for sure, Lord, help us to be busy like Thomas, having a desire to want to do and knowing how to do because you've saved us. Lord, we have so much to tell. And thank God for the good news, Lord, you've given us to tell people about Jesus. And Father, help us to be busy. Bless now the service we're about to go into. Have your will and way in all the things that are said and done. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.